Welcome back, everybody. We are wrapping up this first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report with a little bit more of a focus on some of the charts and some of the key technical factors that I think we should all be watching for. And my guest, Jordan Roiburn, also focuses on. Now, Jordan is the founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Jordan is also a CMT, so Chartered Market Technician, and a MFTA, Master of Financial Technical Analysis. So, Jordan, you are one of my go-tos every week to discuss some of the technical factors that are playing their role in usually the precious metals sector. And I know the second hour I am going to talk a bit more about metals, but we're getting into it a bit earlier here because these are the charts that you focus on for your subscribers. We're going to start with the GDXJ chart here and a monthly 10-year chart. If anybody has a charting membership to any of the websites that offer good charts, I recommend pulling up this 10-year monthly chart for GDXJ and following along. Jordan, take us through some of the keys that you are watching that you think are important on this chart, please.
Okay, thank you, Corey. When I'm looking at technical analysis, and my advice to others would be, a lot of times we make it too complicated. And so for the most part, you want to focus on price and price action. And so from there, I look at moving averages, Fibonacci levels, support and resistance levels. And so that should really be your focus when you start. And so looking at GDXJ, I wanted to touch on that first because, you know, like GDX, although it's lagging GDX just a bit as far as kind of where they are in their price movements. If you look at GDXJ, you can see it had this big breakout from the 7-year base. And so that was really strong resistance around 49, 50, 48 maybe, depending on if you're using the high intraday highs or using the weekly closing high or the daily closing high. It's somewhere in there. So GDXJ had a really strong move, and then it got all the way up to 66. It got really overbought, and evidence of that, and this is like a secondary thing I look at, is breadth. So I have my own breadth indicators where I look at about 33 stocks in the GDXJ, and I'm looking at how many are making new highs, how many are trading above certain moving averages. And as GDXJ was approaching that 66 level, these indicators were showing the market was red hot, but really too hot. I mean, you want the market to be strong and then get hot, but eventually if you stay too hot for a little too long, you know, that's a sign that buying is going to be exhausted and the market needs to cool off. So that's what happened to GDXJ and the entire sector, really. So from that point, we look at, okay, where might it correct? Where will the downside be? And naturally, you're looking at support and resistance levels. You know, when you break a certain level, that's resistance, that becomes support. So support for GDXJ is now around 48, 49, 50 in that area. And I think GDXJ came down just below 52 recently. It's possible that could be the low. I mean, I don't know for sure, but it's also possible it might test that again, maybe go a tiny bit lower. And this is where you can also look at things like Fibonacci levels and certain moving averages, like the 200-day moving average. We're looking at a monthly chart right now, so I don't have that handy. But I think the 200-day moving average for GDXJ, that's coming up fairly close to, I mean, I can type it in here. So it's at about 48.22. So we know that there's really strong support around 50, maybe a tiny bit below. And now we have the 200-day moving average, which is sloping up at 48.22. So that probably in the next couple of weeks, that could reach 49 or even 50. So these things, and so we're trying to anticipate things with technical analysis. I mean, you don't want it to be predictive. You want to use it to help you. So what all these things tell us, Corey, is there's a lot of support coming up. I mean, really strong support, around 49.50. And, you know, if GDXJ were to come down and, you know, test 52 or 51 again, the technicals are telling us that the odds are GDXJ is going to hit a low at some point and then rally. So that's really what I like to use technical analysis for, is helping me find good low risk entry points, and also telling me when, okay, the market is really overbought or this stock is really overbought. Now would be a time to trim that position, you know, sell one half of it or sell one third of it, and then put that capital into something better. So that's how I use technical analysis. And then there's also sentiment indicators. So there's a lot of things that we could look at, but I would tell most people, focus on the price and the price action, you know, support resistance levels, moving averages, Fibonacci levels, because when you bring into play all these other indicators like stochastics and MACD and, you know, all these types of things, those are just derivatives of price, and those, they can complicate what you're looking at. So price really should be the focus, and you can throw a little bit of volume analysis in there as well, especially when you're looking at individual companies.
All right. Well, I was going to ask you about MACD, ADX, low stochastics, but hey, fair enough. Pay more attention to price. When it comes to price, though, how important are weekly closes, monthly closes compared to like intermonth or interweek moves that drop sometimes below or sometimes break above resistance zones?
Yeah, those are very important. It's definitely important to, if you're looking at, you always want to focus on closing prices. So you shouldn't be looking at, I mean, I know we're looking at a monthly chart here and it's still the middle of the month, but you shouldn't base too much on, for example, right now, you shouldn't base too much on a monthly chart because we still have half the month to go. But a weekly chart, basically Fridays today, this is the day you want to look at a weekly chart because it's the end of the week. You don't want to look at a weekly chart on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, for example. And same thing with a daily chart. You know, you want to look at a daily chart at the end of the day. So closing levels, regardless of what you're looking at, it's very important.
So, Jordan, what about looking back in history, too? Because obviously near-term levels, some of these support and resistance zones that we have that have just been created over the last couple months, even the last couple of years, those seem more important. But what about if we go back 8-9 years when GDXJ was moving down pretty aggressively? How important are some of these levels?
Well, they are important from the standpoint of support and resistance. And when you're going back that far, that's when you should probably be using weekly or monthly charts, because it simplifies it. You get less chop and volatility. So it's important to smooth out what you're looking at, especially when you're looking on a long time frame. I mean, nobody looks at a 50-year daily chart, for example. So yes, looking back is very important. And I'll mention one example of that is GDX. You know, like I said, GDX is a little bit ahead of GDXJ because GDX broke out from that 7-year base before GDXJ did. And earlier in the summer, GDX, it broke past the resistance around 30, traded all the way up to 37. Then it pulled back and retested. You know, it bottomed out, I think, near 31. But anyway, my point is when GDX made that big breakout in the summer, 37 was a level that I was looking at because it was a Fibonacci level. But also, if you go and you look at the like a 10-year chart of GDX, you can see that in 2010 and 2012, there were key lows right around 37. That's something to keep in mind. You know, looking at certain levels, looking at GDX now, I mean, in the future, there could be future resists. I'm looking right here. The 2012 peak after that rally towards the end of the year, I mean, that came in around 51. And interestingly, Corey, if you actually look at a measured upside target from the 7-year breakout, I believe it comes out to 50 or 51. So that's another thing. When you're looking at various things and they all point to similar levels, that's going to tell you that level is going to be stronger. So that 51 level for GDX, which is the measured upside target, we're probably going to see a correction when GDX gets up to that point. But looking at GDXJ, for example, its measured upside target, I believe, is in the low 80s. And when you pull up a long-term chart, like a 10-year chart of GDXJ, well, I'm seeing the 2012 the late 2012 resistance is around 90, 91. So, I mean, it doesn't always fit in perfectly like that, like it does for GDX, but you know, those are the things you have to look at. And I'll mention gold really quick, because, you know, we're looking back at history, we're looking at resistance and support. Gold was able to break 1900, but we remember gold, it after it hit 1900 and peaked in 2011, three times it tried to get above 1800, but couldn't. So because of that, we know that 1800 is going to be stronger support than 1900. And looking at that level, Corey, that support around 1800 or the high 1700s, that's a level that could be tested for gold. And if you look at, again, the 200 day, I think is around 1788. So that's another example of multiple things pointing to strong support just below 1800.
All right. Hey, Jordan, a lot to take in there. We were going to get into gold, but you even shared some of the key levels there. And I think one of the main takeaways here is really pay attention to price, even going back 10 years and major turns, major bottoms, major tops. Those are some of the strongest resistance and support zones that you can have. But hey, if anybody has any follow-up technical questions for Jordan, please email me fleck@kereport.com. Jordan, I appreciate you taking time and wrapping up this first hour for us.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.